You're listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. Joining us today on the line, Susan Bigelow, columnist with CT News Junkie, and Mike Dobbs, managing editor of the Reminder Newspapers. Susan, Mike, it's good to have you on again.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
This week, Springfield police have reinstated five officers who face perjury charges for allegedly trying to cover up a 2015 fight outside a bar involving off-duty officers. Commissioner Cheryl Claprud says the officers are needed now because of staffing shortages caused by COVID-19. But City Council President Justin Hurst says he was under the impression the department was bringing in state troopers and help from the National Guard.
The idea that these five officers were absolutely necessary in order to maintain public safety, in my opinion, is absurd.
Susan, what do you think about all of this?
Well, I understand why they might want to bring in officers that they already know. I mean, that makes some certain amount of sense. But these officers, I agree, though, it does send the wrong message that in times of crisis, they'll bring back anybody. They'll bring back people who have violated the public trust. It's not a good look. It's not a good message, and it's not a good precedent either.
Mike, how to manage the police department has been a source of contention between the City Council and Mayor Dominic Sarno, who supports the reinstatement of the officers. Is this decision going to make things even worse on that front?
I think it will. I did contact the Springfield Police for the story that I'm doing on this, and I asked them specifically what kind of duty these officers were going to have. I mean, considering the fact that their legal status hasn't been finally decided in this particular case, I thought, well, maybe they'd be used inside, but apparently there are no restrictions on how they're going to be used. And yes, I think that this sends sort of an interesting message, especially to the city's minority population, about the Springfield Police and how they are being managed. Yeah, I think this is just going to add a little bit more gasoline to the fire.
Also this week, several Northeast governors pledged to work together to help reopen the economy once the COVID-19 pandemic subsides. Included are Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island. Each state would name a public health and economic official to a group working on a plan. Mike, how about this regional approach?
I think it's very smart. I think that, first of all, we have a regional economy. Definitely here in us in Western Massachusetts, there's a lot of economic links historically and certainly now with Connecticut, with the Hartford area. So I think that having the governors looking at this group of northeastern states with linking borders and how we are going to do this reopening is a very positive, constructive step forward.
Susan, while we're talking about governors, I'm curious what you think about the job Connecticut's Ned Lamont has been doing managing the coronavirus crisis. A new Hartford Current poll found that Lamont gets more than 65% approval for his job here.
Yeah, and that's generally the sense, that the governor is doing a good job. He gives us the facts that we need. For the most part, there's bipartisan approval of what he's been doing. There's been a little grumbling here and there about possible overreaches with some things, but honestly, it's been good to see so many people united behind the governor in this time of crisis.
Well, Susan, Mike, you've both been busy writing columns this week, so let's take a look at them. Susan, you wrote that the era of small government is coming to an end amid the pandemic. Please tell us more.
Right. So there's been a long time theory. This has sort of been like the dominant theory of conservatism for the past like 50, 60 years, is that government needs to be smaller. It needs to be more efficient. There needs to be fewer people in it. And it needs to be offloading much more of its responsibilities to the private sector. But that doesn't work when we enter a big crisis like this. And I firmly do believe that we are entering a kind of moment of rolling crises as we deal with not just this pandemic, but the sort of long-term crisis of the climate change, other crises of the 21st century that we're dealing with, crisis in democracy itself. Government has to be able to do big things. It has to be able to coordinate. It has to be able to lead and provide resources. We're really seeing the failure of federal leadership, not just because of staffing shortages and budget cuts, although that absolutely is a problem, but also because, of course, there is just a leadership vacuum at the top. But government needs to be able to respond, and it's not being able to do that. And part of the reason is that we've been so focused on small government. So government needs to be bigger, it needs to be more competent, and it needs to be more ready.
And Mike, you wrote about the idea of recreational marijuana dispensaries being deemed non-essential businesses in Massachusetts, but liquor stores have been allowed to stay open out of concern over alcohol withdrawal. And this week, a court agreed with Governor Charlie Baker about keeping the recreational pot shops closed. Your thoughts on all of this?
It's a great conspiracy against the cannabis industry. No, I'm just teasing, of course. There are no conspiracies in an American government. What I do think has happened is that this is an indication of Baker's basic disapproval about having a recreational marijuana retail operation in the state. I really don't understand why liquor is okay, and we all know what liquor can do, and the handful of dispensaries, and we're talking like in Hampden County, we just have two of them. We have a smattering in Berkshire County. And in Hampshire County, it's like, how are these really going to be a negative thing at this time? I don't understand it. I really don't. I think that what we are understanding is that we are leaving potential tax dollars on the table from the sale of recreational cannabis, and that we really can't afford to leave any tax dollars on the table, considering the nature of our economy right now and how long it's going to take for it to recover. So I do think there was obviously a institutional prejudice against recreational cannabis at this time that was shown by the Baker administration, and it's disappointing.
Susan, I'll give you the last word on this.
Well, I think that if they closed the liquor shops, there would be riots. So that's probably why they decided not to do that. But it did. I agree. It doesn't make sense.
All right. Susan Bigelow with CT News Junkie and Mike Dobbs with The Reminder. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for listening to The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. You can also listen to us wherever you get your podcasts or by going to nepr.net/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.